went off onto a 45-minute tangent. So I could pretty much review what we did last week in 2-3 minutes, and we're in the in a very, very deep and special sugya subject, the subject of David HaMelech. But not Bechlal. As I mentioned last week, it's not the point here. It's not a class in Tanakh. It's not Tanakh. But to understand David HaMelech in the context of Malchus, of that power of Malchus, of the kingdom, and to understand Tefillah through David HaMelech, since David HaMelech is the embodiment, the manifestation in this world of the Koach of Tefillah, David HaMelech was the perfection of the power of davening. Akedei kach, that he was a Tefillah, he described himself as being a Tefillah. So, to that extent, we have to try to understand the Malchus of David HaMelech. Began last week, again, I'm just going to review Mamish in a minute, that it actually, it's a statement that's found in the Ramon Shulchan Aruch, in the laws of Rosh Chodesh, that the custom of the Jewish people is when we go and we sanctify the new moon by Kiddush Levana, so we say David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayim. We say that the kingdom of David, long live David HaMelech, David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayim, he lives and he exists forever. And the Ramos says in Shulchan Aruch that the Malchus of David HaMelech is compared to the moon. He's explaining, why do we say, what does the moon have to do with David HaMelech? Why do we say David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayim by Kiddush Levana, by the sanctification of the moon? So the Ramah explains that the Malchus of David is compared to the moon, and just like the moon goes through certain phases where we don't see her, so too the Malchus of David HaMelech is concealed. Even now, when the Malchus is quiet, when we can't see the kingdom of David HaMelech at all, really, it's there, just in a hidden way, and we're waiting for it to reappear in our lives. And the Ramah says, "Ukneses Yisrael Tachsel is Dabek v'Bayilishu Kadosh Baruch Hu." And at that time, the Ramah says that the Jewish people will once again be attached to the husband, to Hashem, the way that the moon is mischadesh shemachama, the way that the moon waits, longing with great longing for the light of the sun, and this, that there's going to be this unification of the light of the sun and the light of the moon, so too the Jewish people wait to return to Hashem. Therefore, he says, that's the simcha, that's why we rejoice, and we make special dances at the time of Kiddush HaChodesh, Dugma Simchas and the Sun. The same way that we dance at a wedding, when there's a unification that takes place between a man and a woman, so too, by Kiddush Levana, the moon, which is symbolic, which is a manifestation of the kingdom of David, which means the longing of the Jewish people to return to Hashem, as the moon longs to receive from the light of the sun. So that's the simcha of Rosh Chodesh, which is like the simcha of a marriage. That's what the Ramah writes. It's like the simcha of a wedding. And we began last week to talk about this. Again, very much bekitzer. I explained it much more, for a few minutes more last week. That the whole inyan of Malchus Hashem, the meaning of Hashem's Malchus, is that Kadosh Baruch Hu is longing to give. The whole reason that He created the world, as it was revealed to us, was that Kadosh Baruch Hu is Toiv, Hashem is good, and He wants to be able to share His goodness, to give of His goodness. And in that respect, He's compared to the sun, which continuously shines and is continuously giving. And the Jewish people are compared to the moon, who receive from the sun. Therefore, Knesset is also compared to the feminine, just like the moon is feminine. Mainly, we understand that at the beginning of time, when Hashem told the moon to be diminished, and we're not going to talk about the reasons why that happened, that's not for now. But Hashem told the moon, L'chimi atiyas atzmeich, that the moon should make itself small. The moon, the size of the moon was diminished. So we understand that the deeper meaning of that is that in order for us to receive from Hashem, we have to make ourselves small. in His presence. In order to receive, we have to be aniyim. That's what we've been talking about for months. We have to feel a sense of emptiness and poverty. In order to receive from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and ultimately, in order for us to be able to give of Hashem's light to the world, since we were, for whatever reason, designated as the receptacle, as the moon, to receive that light and to pass it on to the world, so in order for us to fulfill that role of being the moon to receive the light of Hashem and to give it over to the world, there has to be an emptying out of our own personal desires, of our own personal will. And that's why David HaMelech is compared to the moon. And that's why, as I mentioned last week, the Gemara tells us that there was a code, a password that was used at the time that the Goyim decreed that we're not allowed to sanctify the moon. And we know their eternal hatred for the kingdom of David and their fear of the kingdom of David. And as much as they despised the family of David, they also sought to eradicate the institution of the sanctification of the moon of Kiddush HaChodesh. Because Kiddush HaChodesh, the sanctification of the moon, contains within it the mystery of the Malchus of David, and the Malchus of the Jewish people are going to be renewed, just as the moon is going to be restored to its former greatness. And the simon, the password that was being used at the time when it was forbidden for us to openly declare the moon, was David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kai. That was the sign, that was the password. That was the sign for the Jewish people to know that the month had been declared, that the moon had been spotted, had been seen. Reb Tzadik explains, what does David HaMelech have to do with the moon? Because the same way that the moon has absolutely nothing of its own, only what it receives from the sun, so too the nature of David HaMelech was such that he felt that he had nothing of his own. As we already spoke about, therefore, he continuously refers to himself as being poor. Throughout Tehillim, he refers to himself as the one who is poor. Shein lo rak ma she'Hashem Yisbarach noisen lo. Because all he has is what Hashem gives him. That's all he has. V'zeh sharish midas ha'malchus, Rebbe says, and this is the root of that quality that is called Malchus that we've been talking about now for a while. V'sharish klal k'nes yisrael ha'mayim l'levana, and this is the root of the very nature of the Jewish people who count time according to the moon. So we count time, we live in this world according to the moon. The Goyim live in the world according to the sun. And David HaMelech felt so impoverished. That's our episodic writes in a different place. Therefore, this is where we left off last week. Therefore, the nature of David HaMelech is feminine. The quality of David HaMelech is Dargid the Isha. Yiras Hashem Kenoda. Because the woman's greatness, is most profoundly expressed in Yiras Hashem, in fear of God. In Yiras Hashem. So what does that mean? Since the feminine quality senses emptiness and dependence and a need to receive, the very nature of the feminine is to stand in fear and anxiety, to be nervous. That fear and that awe in the presence of the one from whom she has to receive, from whom she is waiting to receive. The trademark of the Isha is Yiras Hashem. This does not only mean with women. I'm not just talking about men and women. We're talking about the quality of David HaMelech, which is Isha Yiras Hashem. Obviously, since you know that all that you could ever have and all that you'll ever be depends upon the other, therefore, when standing in the presence of the other, there's a continuous sense of Yira, of fear, that perhaps something is going to get in the way of the relationship, that perhaps something is going to interrupt that flow from the sun to the moon. Therefore, Tzadik writes also, Malchi Yisrael Mevarachim Aleim Shecholim Mikvod Eli Yireyav. There's a bracha to make when you see a Jewish king. The bracha is made that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shecholim Mikvod Eli Yireyav, that Hashem has given from His glory to those who fear Him. A Jewish king is called the one who fears Hashem. The Jewish king is called the one who is in fear, who fears Hashem. Shebehem Tachlis Ayira B'Toykev K'may Mechazal. Rabbi Tzadik says that in the king, the fear is most powerfully expressed. As it says, Melech Kevin Shekarei Shuv and Azoykev. You and I, when we go down in Shemon Esrei, so when we bend down, we go back up. But then the law of a king is Kevin Shekarei Shuv and Azoykev. Once the king goes down, he's not allowed to stand up again. Shuv and Azoykev. The reason that the king doesn't stand up is because of the unbelievable measure of fear that overwhelms him.
And
where do all Jewish kings receive this koach of yira, of fear from? They receive it from David HaMelech. Since David HaMelech is called the Tara, the opening, the gateway into the fear of Hashem, which is the feminine quality of Isha Yiras Hashem, Hitis Halal, of the woman who is God-fearing. Wherever there is Yira, wherever there's fear, there's a readiness to receive. Wherever there's fear, now fear, please don't confuse the fear that we're talking about, like being afraid of a bad guy. I'm not talking about being afraid of a murderer, being afraid of a wild animal. The proper way to express this would be more reverence than fear. It doesn't mean to be afraid, but a sense of awe and reverence. So where there is that sense of awe and reverence, where there is that sense of yira, there's the koach to be makabel, the koach to receive. Now the king is the person who we would last expect to be a person who is fearful, who fears, and a person who receives, who is receiving. Because when we think of a king, we think completely of a person who's mashpia. When we think of a king, we think of the one who has everything and is giving to everybody what he has. The king is the one who is mashpia. We always think of the king as the one who has what to give. And yet, David HaMelech describes himself always as being poor. He is the moon that only receives. He's the feminine quality that is fragile and vulnerable and afraid and lonely. Kareya Vena Zoykev, that bends down and is afraid to stand up. Yiras Hashem, he otsro. It says in the pasuk, Yiras Hashem is a treasure. An otsar means a treasure. The person who fears Hashem possesses a treasure, an otsar. The deeper meaning of otsar is that there's like a treasure chest, an empty box that's prepared to receive all the blessings from above. This is the Oitzer of David HaMelech. The one who we would least expect to feel vulnerable and dependent. The one who has everything. The one who has what to give. Stands in complete and absolute fear and awe. And complete his batlus and self-annihilation in the presence of the one who is the king of all kings. This is the darga, this is the level that Rabbi Tzadik is speaking about, that's Isha Yiras Hashem. Isha Yiras Hashem. Therefore, the kings of the Jewish people are called Yireim, those who fear Him. Because they have all received this koach of Yira from David HaMelech. It didn't work out with all of them. The Gemara says, the Gemara describes the wealth of David HaMelech.
The Gemara says in Daf Ayin Beis in Yuma that the Zir Shel Shulchan Zoch Dov Venotlo, that the gold frame around the table belongs to David HaMelech. Zir Zohav Simla Kesa Malchus. A Zir means a crown, the golden crown. And the Shulchan, why the table, the special table, the table of the Lechem Aponim, of the showbread, what does that have to do with Malchus? Because the table also represents wealth. The table obviously represents wealth. So the crown or the golden frame around the table, the Gemara says, belongs to David HaMelech and the children of David HaMelech. And the Gemara describes at the beginning of Brachas how the Jewish people depended on David HaMelech for a living. The Gemara describes, when it was time, the Chachmei Yisrael, the sages of the Jewish people, would go to David HaMelech, Omru lo, and they would say to him, Adonainu HaMelech, Amchi Yisrael, Tzrichim Parnosa. The Chachamim, the leaders of the people, would come to David HaMelech and say, Ribbono Shlom, your people, they would say to David HaMelech, David, your people, Amchi Yisrael, Tzrichim Parnosa. We're having a hard time, we need to make a living. So David HaMelech said, so go make a parnasa one from the other. Go make a parnasa. You can't satisfy a lion with a little bit, with a handful, and the pit cannot be filled with its own dirt. It's a very deep expression. But in other words, if you dig out a hole, and you have the dirt over there, and you put the same dirt back in, So he told him, in other words, go fight in a war and take the spoils of war. So then it says they would ask, Achi Teufel, Menemloch, Miss Nehedrin, this Nehedrin, Mishal, Bum, Mitorm, and so on. What we see from the Gemara is that the Jewish people would come to David HaMelech the way David HaMelech went to Hashem. The same way that David HaMelech would go to Hashem with his hands like this and say, I have nothing at all, what do I do? But I don't know what to do, I'm empty. Hashem, what do I do? So the Jewish people would come to their king. Words, the same way David HaMelech would approach his king with this sense of awe and dependence, so too the Jewish people would approach David HaMelech, because remember, the point of Malchus is to receive, but the purpose of receiving is in order to be able then be mashpia, to give. So David HaMelech is approached by the people, because the people depend upon the Melech. And their understanding is that David HaMelech has received from Hashem. Therefore we're coming now to our king to give to us. So could you imagine, just imagine, you don't have to imagine, if anybody that's ever studied a little bit of history knows how much corruption there's been in monarchy, in that institution of monarchy, to the point that there was this sort of a spontaneous revolution against the concept of monarchy that took place, as you know, at the time, already beginning with the Renaissance, and certainly at the time of the Reformation, where that which was taken for granted for all of history, that there's going to be a monarch, suddenly became the most vulgar and obscene reality, where the people throughout Europe, and this of course affected America as well, and the spirit of revolution was inflamed by this desire to get rid of the monarchy, to empty it of all its koyach. What you have in England is Stam and Irish Kite, the shell that's just for, you know, National Enquirer. There's nothing there to use up the money of hardworking people. But the whole concept of a melech became so disgusting in the eyes of the world, that which was taken for granted. The truth is, Abarbanel himself, it's well known, despised the position of monarchy. And he himself was a minister in the kingdom of Spain. And If anybody's ever studied the writings of Abarbanel, you see his hatred for the whole concept of Malchus and how he interprets the Torah. After all, the Torah says it's a mitzvah to have a king. Some to Simulach HaMelech. So the Abarbanel has a whole interpretation of that pasuk. It doesn't mean that we should. It's not preferable. Just if we fall and we lose our trust in Hashem, who's our king, and the Nevi'im and the prophets and sages and so on, we're going to imitate, we're going to try. It's a historical prediction that we're going to imitate the nations and demand a king. But truthfully, the ideal state of Klai Yisrael is without a king. That's the Abarbanel. It's a very big subject in Torah. The concept of it. It's a mitzvah, not a mitzvah. Gopanim, we see that Hashem loves David HaMelech. That's clear. And that the position of Malchus, it seems that the Abarbanel was not speaking about the ultimate ideal, which is, of course, Malach HaMashiach. So, the people would go to David HaMelech and say, Your Majesty, we need a panos. You're supposed to be Mashpia. You received from him and you're supposed to give it over to us. So we understand that the danger here is so immediate, it's so strong, that since the nature of a king is to have so much, and the nature is that everybody depends upon him, we understand how likely it is that there's going to be corruption, that the king is going to lose his sense of Malchus Hashem. Most human kings consider themselves divine. And you had throughout the Middle Ages, the Dark Ages, Middle Ages, the divine rights of the king. And the teva of the world was that a king would deify himself. We know that from Paro. That a king considered himself a deity. In other words, I am God. Look, people are depending upon you and turn to you for long enough. There are people who run a household who think of themselves as God also. The women have a lot of tzaros from these kings. A lot of tzaros from these kind of kings. You know, from the Ralph Crampton types. You know, I'm the king. No, you have a boss at work, he sees himself ani emloich. You know, I am the mashpia. I am the mashbir, I'm the one that provides, I'm the one that gives. And the nature of any king on any level is to forget the fact that he's only receiving from above, and he considers himself a mashpia. I'm the one that, I give life. Paro was embarrassed, he wouldn't go to the bathroom in front of people. He didn't want people to know that, Chazal tell us, right, that he didn't want people to know that he was mortal. So he went to the bathroom. He's a king, he's God. David HaMelech is just the opposite. This was so extraordinary. David HaMelech had everything. And everybody, every Jew in the world came to him and says, David, please. They loved him. The Imamish loved him. He said, David, please. We're having a hard time with the Parnassah. And David HaMelech would say, "Like, what do you guys want me to do? I myself am so empty. I myself have nothing at all. You know, go see what you could do." It's the Yiras Hashem. David HaMelech never realized that it's that very fact that he felt empty, because he felt so empty, that the Baruch Shalom sent through him a parnasa to the Jewish people. It's like that with every tzaddik. And now we can understand the beautiful teaching of Chazal. It's the Gemara Chulin, Yerushalmi, and Sanhedrin. It says, Nasati Gedula LeParo. Hashem said, I gave greatness to Paro. I gave power to Paro. And what did Paro say? Mi Hashem? Eventually Paro ends up saying, who is God? Who is God? L'Sancheiriv, Hashem says, I gave strength and power to Sancheiriv, the king of Ashur, the king of Assyria. And Amar mi b'chol olahei arotzes. And he said, who among all the gods of the nations can be compared to me? That's what Sancheiriv said. I mean, I'm more powerful than all the gods. Goes on. Goes on through a whole list. Nosati gedul l'David. Then Hashem says, and I gave greatness to David HaMelech, Omar. And what did David HaMelech say when he achieved greatness? When he received this greatness? Anochi tolas v'lo ish. I am a worm, not a human being. I'm nothing.
And Chazal tell us, look, Chazal, I mean, through Sefer Tehillim show us in the Pasuk over there, in Kuf Lamed Aleph in Tehillim, it's a small little capital, 131, where he says, Logov Alibi. He says, Hashem, you know that my heart was never conceited, but I never took credit. Logov Alibi, so Chazal say, Bishah Shemashchani Shmuel. That at the time that Shmuel anointed me, you know that it didn't cause me to become conceited. Logov Alibi. Then the next words in the Pasuk of Loram were Einai, and I didn't lift up my eyes, and Chazal say, Bishah Sharakti is Golias. When I killed Goliath, when I killed Goliath, I also didn't lift up my eyes, in other words, to think highly of myself. And I did not walk in greatness and haughtiness, when I brought back the Ark of Hashem. Everybody remembers that not only wasn't he haughty, but he lifted up his robes and he was dancing with such humility, and Michal, the daughter of Shaul, couldn't bear to watch that a king should disgrace himself by dancing with the common people and lifting up his coat in such a way. And David Melzer said, "Even Eklasi, I'd mizayis v'isi shafel be'enai. Halavaya could be even lower in my eyes to dance before Hashem." So Domach is saying, "V'lo yirom v'enai, v'lo alachti b'gedolus u'beneflos v'meni, beneflos v'meni." And with a sense of exaltedness and haughtiness. When you brought me back to my kingdom, when you restored my kingdom, I didn't become conceited. And the pasuk ends up, I am like a child being nursed by his mother. David HaMelech compares himself to a child. It's actually being nursed and weaned. It's a whole big thing in the Ishbitz, a whole Torah on this. I spoke about in Shul a few weeks ago. So the Gemara says that in Yushalmi, Ki Yoyne Kazeh Hayoytzi Moi Imai. Wasn't I always like a little baby coming out from the womb of his mother? In other words, that every single drop that nourished me, I received straight from you, Hashem, that I never turned my eyes away from you, like the child that is being nursed. And as the Ishbitz says, when a child's being nursed, sometimes he can be distracted. So he turns his head a little bit, but if mommy goes away, then the child gets very nervous. So sometimes the Jew says, listen, it might be that sometimes we get distracted by this world, we turn our heads to the side a little bit, but we know who's nursing us. We remember, and if we sense that the mother is leaving, we turn around and start to cry, and we start to get nervous. So this is what David HaMelech says. So this is the skula, this is the greatness of the kingdom of David. Therefore, the malchus of David HaMelech compared to the moon. Therefore, the Medrash says that the Zakenim would honor David HaMelech, the elders of the Jewish people would honor David HaMelech by saying, HaMelech Sheba'aretz Yevarech HaMelech B'Shamayim. When they would ask David HaMelech to daven, they would say, let the king on earth bless the king in Shemayim, the king in heaven. So the nature of Malchus as it emerges in the life of David Melech, the one who has every reason to feel satisfied, who has every reason to feel independent and powerful, and by choice, humbles and lowers the self in that feminine quality of David HaMelech. The Melech who mamish is the connection to Hashem. The Melech who provides the world like Yosef HaTzadik provides. The Melech, the one who has the power to provide, who Davke by all that is rational would begin to think like Paro and Sancheirev that I am God. But that the king completely annihilates himself in the presence of the Melech Malchei Melochim and says that I have nothing like David HaMelech only to give over. That's the Shoresh, that's the root of Malchus Yisrael. And now we're going to understand a very deep teaching of the Maharal. In the 35th chapter of Netzach Yisrael, he's explaining the term Sukkas David, the Sukkah of David.
What's the Sukkah of David? Rav Achim Yochanan wanted the Sukkah of David and the followers. What's Sukkah of David? Now, why is David's Malchus called a Sukkah? So the Maral explains the Fisha David Shu Metzias Chazak Ba'ilam Nikra Bayis. A Metzias that is strong, a reality that is strong and sufficient and secure in this world is referred to as a bayis, a house. A house indicates security and strength. Shul binyan kavua, as opposed to a tent or so on, a bayis is a permanent home, a permanent building. V'chein ha-malchus nikra bayis. Therefore, in Tanakh we find always beis ha-malchus, like with Achashverosh, right? The beis ha-malchus. A malchus is a bayis. Because malchus in this world means security and strength. Therefore, it's called a house. Leficha karla malchus beis David sukkah. So it's extraordinary what's different about the kingdom, the malchus of beis David, is that beis David is called a sukkah. It's not a regular bayis, it's a sukkah. Why is that? Samaral says, Leficha malchus beis David, hu malchus elokis. Because the malchus of David HaMelech is a godly kingdom. So Malchus, leikaroi say bayis. Therefore, the kingdom of David is not referred to as a house, although it's beit Malchus based David, but it's referred to shubini kavukim advarim ativim shem ba'olam kavuim avol advarim elokim einem ba'olam ze kavuim. Why is it referred to as a sukkah? Because godliness in this world is not kavua. It's not established. What does that mean? What does that mean, that godliness is not established? This is consistent with the Maral's teaching in all of his Sfarim. It's how he explains the suffering of the Jewish people in the world, in Netzach Yisrael. Why is it that the Jewish people have lived in such a way? Because since the Jewish people are not physical in the common sense of the word, but the Jewish people are godly. Therefore, the physical world has never been comfortable for Klal Yisrael. Since this world was designed to accommodate physical reality, any reality that is not physical immediately faces resistance in this world. This is the deeper reason for all anti-Semitism. Chazal say that the moment that we receive the Torah in Har Sinai, Sinat, hatred descended into the world, making you play on the word Sinai, which is of course with the Samach, but the Sin and the Samach you can play with. So the moment that we receive the Torah in Har Sinai, Sinna, hatred for us descended into the world. Because that extraordinary event forever stamped the reality of Elokus, of godliness upon Klal Yisrael. And from that moment on, we haven't been able to be comfortable in this world. The world can't accept us. The world can't receive us. We're odd. We don't fit. We're misfits. We're strange. Wherever we are, we're trying to start some revolution and to take over. But then, if we want to take over, how come we're also being accused of always wanting to go back to Eretz Yisrael? We're either too poor, and we're dependent upon the country we're living in, or we're too rich, and we're taking over the country we're living in. We're Zionists. We're imperialists. We're communists. To be a communist and to be a capitalist at the same time. It's a pella. Only the Jewish people can do such a thing. To be the world's greatest communist and the world's greatest capitalist. It's a pella. To be isolationists and to be imperialists.
Cheap and unrighteous.
Right. To be at the same time cheap, but for all the nations of the world to have begged us to come there to basically build up what happened in Poland. Poland was a wasteland. A wasteland. And they were begging Jews to come there. Now that you built up the country, thank you. It's time for you to go into the ovens, you know? This is what happened to Klaiso in Poland. I can't do it. This is something that doesn't have to be discussed at great length. The moment that we were stamped with godliness forever, we became the enemy of this world. Because the world, is comfortable only with things that are worldly. Only the things that are worldly. If you try to be otherworldly, then you're a kook. You know, you're nuts. You could do the craziest thing. You know, you could go to the village with, you know, wear rings all over your body. I saw an article that people are doing like, this became the latest fad. Like people are puncturing their bodies all over, and you could have like a, you know, worm eating contest, and everybody will think, gee, that's really cool. But if you put on film, they think you're a nut. Or you know, if you respect, you know, the institution of marriage or something, you know, what are you, weird? What's the matter with you? You know, because the world is terrified of godliness, because the physical world in its present state, Mashiach will come, be different, but in its present state, the physical world resists things that are not worldly. Therefore, the Maharal is telling us that the kingdom of David could never be a bias in this world, not till the end. Well, we call it Beis David, that's our longing for the end. But in this world, it's called the Sukkah. Not a bias. Because a bias means something that's kavua. Only things that are physical are kavua in this physical world. Only those things are accepted in this world. People could dress like people could go in such a way like behemoths, and the world can accept it. Because why is this? I mean, this is the nature of the world. Okay, this is the world. This is the world. So advarim ha'loikim einam ba'olam hazeh kvuim. Godly things are not firmly set into the world. The very nature of godliness is that this world, look at Eliyahu Navi, couldn't bear, the way that Barbanel explains it, Eliyahu Navi couldn't even bear to be buried in this world. Hashem did him a favor, like that he shouldn't have to be buried in the earth, because he so much resisted, he was so much at odds with physical life, Eliyahu Navi, that Hashem did him a toivah to take him away in such a way. All spiritual things are temporary in the world. They when the terminology of the Svarma Kadosh, Mativ Loi Mativ, means they're touching and not touching, like a bird that's hovering above its nest, touches the nest sometimes and jumps off the nest. That's how spiritual things are in this world. Like a sukkah that is not a permanent building. Let's understand. The nations of the world, which are compared to the sun, have been given their strength and their power, and are given their strength and their power, through the whole system that Hashem calls Teva, nature. Therefore, just like the sun is always shining and powerful, so too the nations of the world have received their portion, each nation has its own strength, and so on. And therefore we know that they're under the control of Sarim, of Mazarlos, of constellations, and whatever that means. It's a very big subject in Torah. The subject of the constellations. But the nations receive their koach in such a way through the constellations, which means teva, nature. But the Jewish people, whose entire existence is Elokis, is godly, the Jewish people, whose entire being is from a higher order of things, and compared to a sukkah, what happens in a sukkah, what the Maharal is telling us, that when a person's in a sukkah, the sukkah is called in the Zohar HaKadosh the Tzela D'Mehemenusa, the shade of faith. When you're sitting in a sukkah, what you're saying is that there is nothing I have in this world except HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who takes care of me, just like the cloud in the desert. So we sit in the sukkah, and we sit in the tzela de Himanusa, the shade of Hashem's protective love. The shade of faith. Tzela de Himanusa. Tzel ha'emunah. And with the kanfei Shechina protecting us, maybe we understand, according to the Maharal, why the Gemara tells us at the beginning of Odizar, the end of time, the great test that's going to distinguish between the Jewish people and the nations is the Sukkah. The Gemara, the famous Gemara there, the first parak, that tells us that at the end of time, the nations are going to have a taina. Listen, if we would have gotten the Torah, if we would have given us the Torah, we'd also be good. So Hashem says, yeah, okay, it's a whole discussion. The Gemara says, okay, I'll give you one mitzvah, let's try it. And he gives him the mitzvah of sukkah, and then Hashem takes the sun out, and it's hot, and they kick the sukkah, and they go away. So when a person reads that Gemara in a superficial way, he's like, come on, well, that's not fair, why give them the mitzvah of sukkah? Like, why not give them the mitzvah of eating challah or something? I don't know, some mitzvah that there are mitzvahs that are easier. Not only that, but Hashem puts them in the sukkah and takes out the sun in all of its fury, and it's so hot that they can't stand it, and they give a kick to the sukkah. The Lamaisa said, the halacha is your potter from a sukkah. A person who's suffering is potter from a sukkah. You don't have to put air conditioning into a sukkah. You're potter. You're exempt if it's too hot, right? Just like if it's too cold. If you can't bear it to sit in the sukkah, you don't have to. The difference the Svarim say, though, is that when the goyim will leave the sukkah, they're going to give it a kick, it says. They'll kick it. Say, ugh. They'll give it a kick. Yeah. So why is the sukkah, I'm not going to go into all the details of the Gemara, which I've spoken about many times, but why is the sukkah used as the litmus test of what's a Jew and what's a non-Jew? Why is the sukkah used as that way of making the final separation between those who were loyal to Hashem and those who were not? Why is it? Because only the Jewish people sat in the sukkah throughout history. Only the ones who sat in the sukkah, who were so vulnerable and felt so alone, and felt so completely impoverished and poor, no matter how much they received. You know, Sir Moses Montefiore, everybody heard of him, but Moshe Montefiore was a tzaddik, Mamash tzaddik. So every night he used to go downstairs in his basement. See, you do what's famous. You know, you heard what he used to do? Every night Rav Moshe Montefiore used to go into his basement and he used to put on his tachrichim that he prepared, his shrouds. And he used to lie down in an oven that was prepared, a plain wooden box. He used to lie down there for a few minutes. Because the whole world was shaking before Rav Moshe Montefiore. You know, the kings and queens of Europe came crawling at his feet. So Rav Moshe Montefiore used to remind himself every night who he was. That's Malchus. Moshe Montefiore is Malchus. That's Malchus. The tzaddikim of Klal Yisrael, the more brokenhearted, the more a sign of Malchus, the more a king, the more the kingdom, the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh. Look at our kings. They were so poor, they used to wander through the world in torn clothing. Our kings. The whole world would make fun. The Rebbe Reb Zushi was our king. Who can understand such a thing? Who can understand such a thing? I always think about it, you know. Take a Jew like Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, Chalav Shalom, who died recently. It was Rav Shlomo Zalman. I was in his house. He lived in a tiny little old house in Shari Chesed. And when he walked in the streets, the whole world was drawn to him like a magnet. And the whole world, the wealthiest Jews in the world, the most powerful people, would stand in complete and total awe in his presence, right? Before the Lubavitcher Rebbe, kings of the world, mamash. Kings of the world and queens and presidents and leaders of states and military people, Jews, non-Jews. Whoever came into his Dalet Amos was overwhelmed. Was overwhelmed. Man Malachi Rabbanu. These are the kings. Who's the Lubavitcher Rebbe? He lived in a tiny little apartment all of his life, never went on trips, never took anything for himself. Whatever he got, he gave. That's Malchus. And yet the whole world felt the kingdom of that tzaddik. Stood in absolute awe of the king. The Malchus of the one who has nothing and takes nothing. The Malchus of the one who stands as an Oni b'Pesach, like a poor man, to receive from Hashem. And the Jewish people come crying by the tzaddik, Rabbi, 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 please, please. Am Chisel Tzichem Panosa, Yidden need a Panosa. Please Hashem, Yidden need children, they need health. And the Tzaddik would turn to the Baruch Shalom, the one who felt he had nothing at all. And through him, Hashem's brachos from Mamush would flow. That's Malchus. That's the moon. That's the Levana. That's the meaning of Sukkos David. The one who felt so vulnerable, the one who felt so uncomfortable in the world. Because David HaMelech was mamish uncomfortable. He says about himself, Muzar Hayisi, even my own family thought I was strange. David HaMelech said, my family thought I was strange. David
also my family thought it was strange. Yeah, he's talking about his mishpacha. He says, "Ki avi v'imi zavuni v'Hashem yasvein." He says, "My father and mother have deserted me." Whatever that means, it doesn't mean like they, you know, doesn't mean that they didn't give him allowance. His parents were extraordinary tzaddikim. But he felt he was a stranger. He says, "I mean, like all Klal Yisrael is a stranger. So the Melech didn't quite fit into the world. It was different." Don HaMelech lived his whole life in a sukkah. That's why his name is David. And there's a very deep teaching from Reb Tzadok from Lublin. It's found in the other Svarim too. What's the name David? Dalad Vav Dalad. Vulgamkin rose the David Dalad Tchil of his Saif. His name is with a Dalad in the beginning, a Dalad at the end, because the letter Dalad means Dal, which is poor, poverty. David HaMelech's name begins with a Dalet and ends with a Dalet. Because Dal means the one who has nothing, totally empty and poor. That's why in Hebrew a bucket is called a Dali. Because it only receives a bucket. If a bucket is full, it's not a bucket.
What's called a
bucket in English, a pail. It's called a Dali. In Hebrew it's a Dali. Aramim Hashem Kedili Sani. Lift me up, Hashem, because you have made me so poor. Like the one who's, like the bucket that's lowered into the well, to be lifted up. Kidili sani, to be a dli, to be dal, to be poor. So this is the mystery, Reb Tzadok says of David HaMelech's name, that it begins with a dal, and it ends with a dal. V'havav b'emtza. Sh'zi'ika malchus Yisrael liyazmakid elusiv chasroina. What does it mean? Vav, the letter Vav, always means hashpa. Vav means receiving. Like the Vav that reaches down, the Vav means, the Vav is a letter of connection, it's a letter of having. Achas v'shtayim. Right? Vav always means having more. This and that. Vav is a letter of abundance, of wealth. Vav means a hook. The word, the letter Vav, a Vav in Hebrew means a hook. Meaning more and more. More is connected. So look at David HaMelech's name. David HaMelech saw himself, mamish is nothing. From the time that he was a child, he saw himself as completely empty. And then even after he received everything, which is the Vav, he saw himself as being a Dalet. Dalet, Vav, Dalet. You hear his name? Dalet, Vav, Dalet. He was empty to begin with, and after the Vav entered into his life, and he received so much, he still turned and saw him to himself and saw himself as a Dal standing before the one who gives. He still felt like an Ani Vavyan. That's why he longed so much to build the Beis HaMikdash. That's why he was filled with such deep longing to build a Beis HaMikdash. And the Beis HaMikdash is called by his name, Mizmoshiach Hanukkah Sabayis L'David. The Beis HaMikdash is called by David HaMelech's name, even though he was not able to actually build a Beis HaMikdash. He was able to prepare the gates, the doors. We'll talk about that in a minute. But the Beis HaMikdash he couldn't complete, just the gates. But the Beis HaMikdash is called the house of David HaMelech, Mizmoshiach Hanukkah Sabayis L'David. Chazal say, why lefish nosen David nafshoy alav? Because David HaMelech mamish gave his soul, his heart, his life up for the Beis HaMikdash. Therefore, it's named after him. Now, remember that Malchus means always making, joining together heaven and earth. That's what the Melech does. The job of the Melech is to bring the lower world up to the higher world, to see the connection between all things of this world to the one above. That's why David HaMelech always felt so in need of Hashem, because he saw so clearly that everything in this world is connected to the higher world, and there is nothing in this world without the higher world. That's what Malchus means. To bring everything back to Hashem. That's the job of the Melech. That the Melech receives from Hashem, and then the Melech gives over to the people, and makes that connection from above to below. That's what a Melech is.
And even in the individual person, we spoke about that the whole year, that melech means moach, lev, and kaved. The mind, the heart, and the liver, which means to bring together all parts of the person. That's melech, moach, lev, kaved. Therefore, David Melech longs to build the Beis HaMikdash. The whole point of the Beis HaMikdash is the place of Malchus. So it's also called the Sukkah. The first one is Sukkah Shlomecha. Sukkah Shvachem Chaim V'Sholem. That the Beis HaMikdash is the place where everything in the world is brought back to Hashem. Where all physical objects are restored to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Where everything in the world is seen as being completely poor without Hashem. That's why it's a building that had to have in its stone, and there was some gold, and all these fancy things, and the animals, all parts of creation had to stand in the Beis HaMikdash waiting for the light of Hashem to shine upon them. And from the Beis HaMikdash, all life spread to the world. From the Beis HaMikdash, that's how the world lived. And that's why the Zohar Kodesh says, Malchus Shemayim Ihi Bei Mikdashim. That Malchus Hashem, the kingdom of Hashem in this world, is manifested through the Beis HaMikdash. The Malchus of Hashem in this world is the Beis HaMikdash. Now we understand a very deep thing. I don't know if I'll be able to finish this tonight. Just I'll touch upon it. It's a very deep inyan. The Gemara says that the Goyim were able to destroy the entire Beis HaMikdash except for its gates. It says in Eicha, Tovu, we just read it, Tovu Baritz Ba'aretz She'areha, that the gates were buried beneath the ground. They weren't destroyed. The gates of that were made by David HaMelech. They were Nignazu, they were hidden, they were concealed. Just like the moon is concealed. Doesn't die. So Tzadik explains that since we find a Chazal, that Yiras Hashem, that fear of God, is called the gateway to everything else, the gate to all other characteristics, is called fear. Only the one who feels empty and who feels that he's standing mamish by the gate. In other words, why is the quality of David HaMelech is the gate? Why did David HaMelech make the gates of the Beis HaMikdash? Because David HaMelech always felt like a poor person standing upon the entrance, upon the gate. Like the poor person, mom is standing by the shower. I'm never there. I'm always standing like a poor person. Therefore, the gates were made by David HaMelech. And the gates were not destroyed. Because one can destroy something only if he has a shaychus to it. If you have no shaychus to something, you can't destroy it. If you have no shaychus to something, you can't destroy it. The nations of the world can have no shaychus to the humility of David HaMelech. The nations of the world are far removed from the moon and from the way of the Jewish people who are standing at the gate as poor people. The Goyim don't have a shaychus to that. They might have a shaychus to the gold, to the silver, and to other things that have a shaychus. But to the gateway, to the entrance, to the humility, to the sense of emptiness and loneliness, to the sense of not belonging, not being inside, but always standing by a gate. Just have no shaychus to. So they could have control over the Etzem Beis HaMikdash, the temple itself, which symbolized the Shefa and so on. They can reach into the place of Shefa. But they could never damage the gates of the Beis HaMikdash. They could never take from the Jewish people the Malchus that we receive from David HaMelech, the understanding that we have nothing except Hashem. So the gates couldn't be destroyed, the gates couldn't be touched. The gates of David HaMelech that he made, the most humble of people, the king who saw himself as nothing. The hunger of the Jewish people, the longing for Hashem, the emptiness that they feel without Hashem, the dependence upon Hashem, that's all symbolized by the gate. The gates of the Beis HaMikdash were beyond the reach of our enemies. Not the rabbi, just the opposite. The more that the goyim have destroyed and have stepped upon us and have hurt us, the more we feel how fragile we are. The more we remember the Sukkas David HaNoifelas,
the vulnerable, fragile sukkah of David HaMelech that has nothing but Hashem to take care of her. So the more our enemies have fought against us, the more they've sought to destroy us, the more we've become strengthened in the realization that there's no one in the world who's our friend except Rabbi Yishalom. There's no one in the world who can help us except Rabbi Yishalom. Therefore, we understand that in the depths of our suffering and anguish, that davka is a proof that all that we have is from Hashem. Al tesmichi ayavti li, kinafalti kamti keisha b'choshech Hashem orli, the seventh chapter of Micha, that my enemies, they're happy, but they should know, kinafalti kamti, that just because I've fallen, they should know that I'm going to rise. The fact that I'm always in a state of falling, is a simon that Hashem orally that all we have is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is the Sukkah David. David HaMelech himself was called Bar Nafle. David HaMelech himself was not supposed to live. He received his years from Adam HaRishon. He was a Nafil. He was supposed to be miscarried. He didn't have life. David HaMelech had to be, you know, it was the one who is Chai V'Kayim, the one who lives forever. Davka had to be, because why? Davka, the one who lives forever, had to have no life. Because that shows that all life is only from the Rebbeinu Shloim. You understand? The one who lives forever. A human being can't live forever. A human being lives whatever he lives. But David HaMelech is not Chai V'Kai. David HaMelech lives forever. How is that? Because David HaMelech's life is only from the Rebbeinu Shloim. The Rebbeinu Shloim is forever and ever. But the Rebbeinu Shloim is forever and ever. Therefore, David HaMelech was supposed to be miscarried. His life was a matana, a direct gift from the master of the world, and it had to be such a way. David HaMelech didn't want to even live in this world. He's such a sukkah. He couldn't live in the world. He was going to die in a second. Such a sukkah. But Davka, the one who's called the Bar Nafle, the miscarried one, is Chai V'Kai. Will live forever. David HaMelech is Chai V'Kai. Davka, David HaMelech is Chai V'Kai. We're waiting to see this fulfilled. Kinafalti kamti. The nefilas, we've already seen the falling. Therefore, nun, which is the letter of nefila, of nafal, of falling. Nun, yinon, means, is another name for Mashiach, as I'll say, yinon. And yinon also means the moon. Lifnei shemesh yinon shemo. Yinon means malchus, means power. And it also means the moon. And it also means Mashiach. I knew a Swedish guy in Queens, his name is Yenon Ben Mashiach. His last name is Ben Mashiach. Yenon Ben Mashiach. We have names like, you know Goldberg. And Yenon Ben Mashiach. He's a Kohen, Yenon Ben Mashiach, Ben Acha Ben. It's the real thing. It is not.